Psalm 138, and we'll read from verse 1 through this short psalm. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple, and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. And may the Lord bless to each of us the reading of his own precious word. Let's bow together in a moment for a moment's prayer as we ask for the help of God. Father, as we continue in thy presence today, in the precious name of our Lord and of our Savior, we thank thee for the privilege that is given to us to come into the house of God, to meet together with thy people, to meet around the open word of God, most especially to meet with our Savior. O Father, today we pray that the Spirit of God would come now and settle each of our minds and our hearts. O God, take away the distractions that would so often intrude upon this sacred time. We pray that the difficulties of yesterday and the problems and concerns of tomorrow would not intrude upon our time now. Close us into thyself, we pray. Open to us the Word of God, and may thy truth find a resting place in each of our hearts. May thy word be the means of encouragement, of edifying of each of us as we travel upon our Christian road. Lord, hear our prayer this day. I ask that thou wilt fill me with thy Spirit and give me the words directly from thyself, that I might be as the Lord's messenger with the Lord's message to the people of God here today. Encourage us now and bless us as we continue, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Alfred Smith, the hymn writer, said these words in the chorus, I know who holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by him is planned. So as I face tomorrow with its problems, great and small, I'll trust the God of miracles. Give to him my all. As believers, we rest upon that great doctrine of the sovereignty of God. And we know that this doctrine is that which underlies all of the other doctrines that we believe. God is sovereign. He is in control. But as believers, and as we go through our daily lives, sometimes the theoretical is removed from the practical. And sometimes that as we go through our daily course, we're faced with anxieties, difficulties, we're faced with problems, we're faced with challenges, and sometimes we can even begin to wonder, Lord, how are you working out things in my life? How is your purpose being completely developed? because I seem to have come to a roadblock. I seem to have come to a place where I can't see beyond what is the purpose of God. And if it does not lead to a doubt, then perhaps it leads to a question. You need to have direction from God. You need to know His mind. You need to know that you are doing the right thing. Very often the doubts can lead us to depression, can lead us to be bound by that old giant, the giant despair, and as he locks us into his dungeon, we can hear the key turning in the lock and the tumblers fall and the bolt drops and there we sit. Oh yes, we know the doctrine, but the problem is sometimes it can be a little bit removed from our practice, and that's a danger. As we're in that castle of despair sometimes, then the old devil takes the big stick and he begins to beat us with past sins, past failings, future fears. All these things mount upon us. And we wonder, Lord, what are you doing in my life? Questioning even the providence of God, questioning even the faithful leading of the Lord as He has been in our life. Maybe you're at this particular point in your life on the far side of the desert. God is working, but you're not just sure how He's developing His purpose in your life. Remember that small, insignificant tree on the far side of the desert, that bush, that one day it burned with tremendous glory as God's presence came upon that tree. God spoke to a man from that bush, and it was the means of the conversion of, as the Scripture tells us, the meekest man of all the earth. Yes, my friend, we have to take comfort and encouragement and to remember that even though we have difficulty seeing the development of God's hand in our life, yet He is working. He is working. The text I want to leave before you today is the last verse of Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Here is a text that the believer can get his teeth into. A text that is tremendous assurance that God is working and that He will perfect concerns each one of us. The Lord will take every stray piece of the puzzle and He'll bring it into position. The Lord will tie every loose thread until it forms its proper picture. We look on the underside very often of the tapestry and we see a lot of loose threads. But don't forget, the Lord is viewing the top side. He is viewing the finished plan. And He will bring this thing to pass. The first thing I want us to think about is just simply the tremendous assurance that there is here for the believer. The Lord is interested in us in a personal way. The Lord does not look down upon His children as being in one great lump. He does not look upon us as being numbers in a file. The Lord is interested in us in a very special way. With fatherly gentleness and kindness, He cares for us. His arms are open wide. He cares for all of His children. And though we might be faced with some what seem to be insurmountable problems, maybe there's nowhere to turn. Believer, do not forget that underneath are the everlasting arms of the eternal God. This truth really came home to me a couple years ago. In In the winter time where we are in Canada, the lakes freeze solid, as they do in the northern parts of the states. And in winter activities, people will drive their snowmobiles sometimes on the lakes. It's quite safe if you know the lake and if you know where you're going and if you know the weather conditions. But sometimes people are not so concerned with weather conditions. This one day anyways, it was after a thaw that had happened in January, and it had frozen again. And I was out driving in the bay, and what I saw in front of me was, it looked like a small wet or a damp spot. And so I attempted to steer away from that area. But I came too close to it, and the snowmobile began to break through the ice, and the back of it was breaking through. And I thought, oh boy, I'm finished now. I was ready to jump. In fact, I did jump off. I was still hanging on to the handlebars, but I jumped off the side. When that happened and the snowmobile came to a stop, I was prepared that everything was gone. In fact, I was gone too. But when I stepped off and everything stopped, I was still standing in about 6 inches of water, but still standing on ice. You see, what had happened after that thaw and the rain, it had built up a layer of about 6 inches of ice, of water on top of the ice. And then it had frozen on the top a small layer again. So it had broken through, but underneath I was standing on about 3 more feet solid of ice. And you can drive a transport truck on that and it will not break through. And so you see, sometimes in the situations in which we as believers face, we come and we think, well, the ice is breaking through and I'm not going to be able to be sustained. And yet underneath us, let us be encouraged that the arms of the everlasting God are there to comfort, to assure us that He is supporting and He will keep us. In our text, if you notice the word perfect, the Lord will perfect that which concerns us. In our translation, it's in the future tense. It says the Lord will perfect. But as you examine the Hebrew a little closer, you'll find out that it really also can be translated that the Lord is perfecting. It is the ongoing work that the Lord is doing in our lives. Yes, when we think about it in the future tense, the Lord will certainly complete that in the days which are to come. But believer, be encouraged that the Lord is working today. He is fulfilling His purpose and His plan in your life individually, right at this very moment. How long has the Lord been doing this work for you? The assurance for the believer is this, that the Lord Himself is the one who has been doing the work from all eternity. That is something that you can build your faith upon. Something that you can be confident in. The God who has, from before the foundation of the world, been working on your behalf, planning, drawing, leading. The Lord who, from before the foundation of the world, has chosen us unto Himself. And He has chosen us for a purpose, that we might be conformed to the image of His Son. That we might live to the glory of Jesus Christ. This is what the Lord is doing in your life today. God is making these developments because He has been working from before this world ever was. Is that not something to warm your soul and give you encouragement? Going through a time of difficulty, dwell upon this great truth that God from before time has been working on your behalf and has been perfecting that which concerns you. Not only in our salvation, but in our day-to-day living. God is sanctifying us He is working His plan out through us. He is developing us that we might be more conformed unto the image of His Son. Because when we get to the end and we see Christ, then we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. But the Lord is developing us, changing us, cutting off those ways He doesn't want developed. Sometimes this is not easy to swallow. Sometimes this pill from the doctor seems to be rather large and it's hard to get down our throat. Let us realize that through the trials, through the difficulties, through those places which we would not choose our own for our own pathway, we would not take those ways, but God has led us that direction, and He has done so that He might teach us, that we might depend upon Him, that we might rest that He is accomplishing His purpose in us. He is fulfilling His plan. Almost every earnest Christian laments the fact that we do not spend enough time in communion with our God. It seems that there are so many unspiritual things that take our time, that rob us of that communion with Christ. We can even entertain the thought that if we were cloistered, living apart from the things of the world, that would be better. If only we could be shut off from all of the temptations and trials and difficulties, just to be closed away with God, then we would be able to honor Him better. We would be able to glorify Him in our communion, in our fellowship, being closer to Him. And yet, we need to understand that God, who is sovereign and who purposes all things according to His own glory, is working in us, even in things which seem to be mundane. Yes, let us understand that God is working all things after the counsel of His own will, and things which to us may appear commonplace, yet it's God's way of leading. It's God's way of teaching. It's God's way of ministering unto us and helping us to learn. To learn what? A great deal of the time, it's to learn patience. Patience, perseverance, self-control, these things are not easy lessons to learn. And you know, we're very slow to learn them. We take a long time. And so we have to be brought by that particular pathway again and again and again, because we're very slow to learn. One man said that God trains us for the most part in ways which we should not choose for that purpose, and sometimes in ways which we are prone to regard as injurious rather than helpful. Is that true in our lives? I think it is. You know that you come to experiences and circumstances which you say, why has this happened? What possible good could come from this? And yet, in the providential education of our God, He is teaching us and training us and directing us that we might be more conformed to the image of Christ. Sometimes these distractions, as we are prone to look at them, are really behind it the harbingers of great joy. If we will but step back from the circumstance for a moment and view it and observe it and see the blessings that can come that are just behind them, just around the corner, and see what has the Lord got for us. As you look at creation and nature, you'll see that God works for the most part in methodical ways. God works slowly. His developments are slow. As we observe nature, we see these things are true. And the Lord works, in most cases, in our lives, the very same way. It is a slow, a methodical purpose that God is working out in us. and the developments. Look in your own Christian experience. You look back perhaps 5 years and you'll see there has been a change. But you look back 1 week and 2 week and 3 weeks and you don't see so much development. It is a slow process that God is doing. But the assurance for the believer is that we rest upon the sovereignty of God. He is perfecting it. That's our encouragement. And that's the assurance that we have. Then we're faced with those situations where we think it's an absolute waste of time what has happened. What has gone wrong? What possibly could God have in this for me? I used to be in the printing business before the Lord called me into the ministry. And sometimes you're rushing to meet a deadline. You're faced with some particular problem. And then when the job is all finished and said and done, you've got the pile of paper sitting on the desk, someone made a mistake down the line and there's a letter out of place. And now you look at a pile of paper that's scrapped and you say, Lord, why has it been such a waste of time for all this to be done? It seems to be completely profitless. You have to stand back from those things that you just do not have the answer for and say, our God doeth all things well. Now that's just a very simple illustration, and you have many more in your own experiences. You face them daily. Let us rest in the fact that God is in control and He is working these things out. Sometimes you can become wearied in the battle. The fight becomes too hard. And then you really ask yourself the question, why? Let us be encouraged that He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord is perfecting that which concerns us in our salvation, in our sanctification, and in the future, our glorification. We look at it as being in the future, but how does the Lord view it? The Apostle tells us in Ephesians that we are seated in Christ in heavenly places. We are as much as being already there. We are partakers. We have possessions that belong to us. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. All that the Lord gives to Christ, we are sharing in those blessings through Him. Glorification. Looking forward to that day because the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day when we shall be completed. We shall be like Him. You know, at that time, the old vile body, the body of corruption, the body of weakness, that will be changed. It will be changed to become a glorious body in that day, like unto His body. And then all the questions will be answered. All the pieces will then fit together. All of those areas and difficulties, and as the Apostle Paul spoke of our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, they work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, the day of our glorification. The Lord will perfect that which concerns us. Let's move on, secondly, to the basis of this assurance. Please look back to verse 8, where David was able to say, and thinking about the basis of the Lord completing and fulfilling His work, he says, Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Thy mercy, the everlasting mercy of our great God. Here is what was the means of encouragement to David. Here is a particular attribute that belongs to the Lord. He is known as a God of mercy. God alone, for the mercy that belongs in Him, has chosen us to Himself. God in His mercy has brought us to Christ. God in His mercy has redeemed us, given to us eternal life. In His mercy, He leads us day by day. in His mercy, He will bring us finally to the day of glorification. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. David in another place said that the mercies of the Lord are great. He is plenteous in mercy. In Psalm 136, it starts off, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And all the way through that psalm, at the end of every verse, Thy mercy endureth forever. Very often we're prone to read quickly over that psalm because by the time we come to the end, we're tired of saying those words, Thy mercy endureth forever. But the Lord is trying to tell us something there and getting a message across to us. Yes, the assurance that we have that God is working these things out and is perfecting, it's based upon His mercy, upon the covenant of mercy He has given to us, which God made with us through Christ. That tremendous covenant, it's not of our own works, we know that. Very often we're prone to resort back more to that thinking. But it's not according to our own works. It's according to His mercy that He has saved us. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. We are sure that God will perfect that which concerns us, because it's not based upon what we have done, what we are doing, or what we will do. It has been completely and fully based upon what another has done for us. It is based fully and completely upon what our Savior has done. And He which has commenced the work in salvation, He who continues the work in our lives, He will fulfill and complete it. It is God's work. It is the Lord's purpose. For He is gracious and merciful, and He will not turn away His face from us. You know that God does not discriminate in His mercy toward His people. He does not respect persons with regard to His mercy. The Lord's mercy has been open to all of His children. Sometimes we can think of the case of the office of a magistrate, where he deserves more respect as his office is concerned on earth, as opposed to perhaps a factory worker. But as these two, being believers, stand before God, they stand as righteous in His sight. They stand as equal. Now let's not mix up the two words of mercy and privilege, because sometimes God has privileged others to walk on areas of grass that we think are greener than our grass. And we might look and say, well, why has that person got those things and I don't have them? Why has God given privilege to that person and I don't enjoy those same things? Beware, Christian, because that sort of thinking can quickly lead to maybe an envious thought, and then a root of bitterness. And that root of bitterness will spring up and will be like a vine that will choke you and rob you of blessing and joy. The Lord's mercy has been given abundantly to you. Do not confuse the fact that God in His infinite wisdom gives something to someone else that He does not give to you. Let us rejoice and be thankful for every blessing that has come to us, because we possess in the end eternal salvation. We have a home in heaven. We have a place that God has prepared for us, and we will be partakers of that glory one day soon enough. Finally, let me leave with you the last part of this verse. David made a prayer, and his prayer was, "Forsake not the works of thine own hands." It seems obvious that prayer would be a conclusion to this. It was a prayer, not one of fear, not a prayer of doubt, but it was a prayer based upon the promise that God had given. The Lord had made the promise already. He is not going to forsake His way. The Lord has made a promise, I will not forsake the works that I have started of my own hands. Now, David prays upon that promise. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. God has begun the work in you, and He will perform it and complete it. Believer, take confidence in that very fact. As Christians, we are not fatalistic, but we do rest fully upon the fact that God, whom we worship, has planned and has purposed and will bring it to pass. And that gives us a place of resting. As we were singing in that hymn, O Jesus, I am resting, resting. And you know, as the choir was singing today, that children's hymn, my, the truth of that comes back to the heart of a believer with great joy. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And God, who has given His love to us and has opened His heart, is directing, leading, and fulfilling His purpose so that we can come with great assurance and comfort and hope. And yes, we continue to live our lives with responsibility, realizing that yes, the Lord has and is perfecting, but Lord, we are responsible characters and creatures before Thee. Help us to be in the center of Thy will. Let us pray upon the promise of God. Do not forsake the works of Your hands, Lord. I am confident that You will not forsake. For the sake of Christ, You will fulfill and You will complete. The Lord knoweth the way that I take. When He has tried me, then I will come forth as gold. Friend, let us rest there in that place. And despite the failings, despite the difficulties, despite the temptations and the testings, let us rest. Rest upon that fact. Turn this verse over in your mind. Let it be a part of you. The Lord is perfecting that which concerns us. Let's bow together in prayer. O Father, today we thank Thee for the Word of God and the promise which comes to our souls with freshness and with power. And we ask that we might walk humbly before our God to do justly and to love mercy, and to be as those servants of the Most High who are faithful. O God, we pray that Thou wilt be able to trust us with the blessing of a great outpouring of reviving in our lives. O God, hear our cry. Wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people might rejoice in Thee? Help us to be men and women of prayer, basing our prayer upon Thy promise, knowing and in full confidence that the Lord is in control. Hear our prayer this day. Bless every servant. Encourage us, keep us in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and bring us back to the house of God again tonight, looking for and expecting the blessing of God and a word from Thyself. Hear us, Lord, today. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.